be here, and yet not here at all. It's impossible not to wonder what she looks like. Would she approve of the outfit they had agonized over? The task of picking those painfully final clothes. Everything from her underwear to her favorite sky-high heels to the slim gold chain around her neck had fallen to them because no one else had wanted to. The procession moves slowly. Finally, the music stops. The coffin is lowered. They sit. It's not a bad turnout for a Wednesday morning. 100 or so people, all in neat black outfits. Winter coats in need of a dry clean. Black dresses which lived in the back of wardrobes and were a little too tight around the arms. Dark work suits, white shirts, ties. It's a good photo, the one they've chosen for the order of service. It had felt ghoulish, clicking through her social media, scrolling past weddings and holidays and parties, hunting for a photo where she looked healthy and happy. But it's been worth it. The photo props up the lie that every person in the church has committed to. Such a shock. Such a tragic accident. How long do these things usually go on for? It can't be more than an hour, surely. And how long will they have to stay afterwards? It will be unrelentingly grim, so strained. All the makings of a party, decent food and good booze, yet none of the fun. It doesn't seem fair to bring together people who haven't seen each other since the last big do, and then make them feel guilty for laughing. They're too young for all of this. And then there's the question of what to say. None of the usual things apply. No one can say she's lived a long life or that she's out of her pain. There isn't anything comforting to reach for. Even calling it a tragedy seems inaccurate. No accident to talk about, no illness to blame it on. At least not one that could be mentioned in polite company. Nothing sounds right. Every platitude seems like an accusation. Like it's someone's fault that she's gone. As though they could have done something. As though death could have been avoided. Now, Georgia. There was a chip in the polish on Georgia's left index fingernail. Shellac wasn't supposed to chip. It had looked perfect when she left the salon earlier, or else she would have had them start all over again. But somehow she had managed to spoil it. Nancy would notice, of course. She would pick her hand up on the pretense of admiring her eternity ring, and then raise her eyebrows with a smile. Nancy's own nails would be perfect, dark red, almost black lacquer, just as they always were. Annoyed, Georgia pushed her fingers into the mixture in the bowl, relishing the wrongness of her hands in the meat, pressing it together with the onions and the sage. Would anyone eat it? She wondered. Certainly not Lila. She seemed to be on a liquid diet these days. Diet Coke by day and wine by night. Which increasingly meant tears, vomit, and saying things she didn't mean. Georgia had started to worry that the liquid diet might be less about Lila trying to lose imaginary baby weight and more about what was going on in her head. They'd be here soon. She had meant to have the food finished by the time they arrived, filling the house with delectable smells. It wouldn't be done in time now, unless they were late. She shouldn't have taken the test today. It was only supposed to take 3 minutes, but inevitably the whole miserable process took longer. The waiting, washing her hands, waiting again. Calling Charlie, pretending not to hear the accusation in his tone as he hurried her off the phone, rushing from one meeting to another, squeezing her wretched disappointment in between appointments with clients. It was always the same.